Good morning, folks, and thank you for joining our call. With me today is Alex Gersh, our CFO. This morning, we released our Q3 2006 trading update. At this stage, you will have read the statement, so I'll just cover the highlights before moving on to questions. Overall, this was another good quarter. Revenue growth of 25% benefited from FX translation, and constant currency growth was 15%. This was driven by sports, including the benefit of a strong conclusion to the Euro 2016 Football Championship. EBITDA, benefiting from the revenue growth and operating leverage, increased by 53% to £113 million sterling. For the full year, we now expect underlying EBITDA to be between £390 million and £405 million, up from the previous guidance we gave you at the end of August of between £365 and £385 million. This increase reflects good trading and favorable sports results in the second half of Q3, accelerated synergy delivery in 2006, and a small foreign exchange benefit to Q4. With that, Alex and I would now be happy to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star followed by one on your phone. If you have answered your question or you would like to withdraw your question, press star followed by two. Questions will be taken in the order received. Please press star one to begin. And your first question comes from the line of Vaughn Lewis, representing Morgan Stanley. Please proceed.
Hi, morning. I've got a few, if that's all right. The first one on the UK regulatory changes. Have you got any initial view on what could be the impact of changes in advertising restrictions for the UK online business? Secondly, in Australia, can you give us any indication about staking trends since you turned off the in-play offer, whether customers have spent on other things or whether we should assume that you lose that sort of volume of staking? And then thirdly, just on the overall business, the profit conversion looks very high at about 50%. There's obviously a benefit from synergies in there, but are you confident that you're still investing enough in new product development and content development to drive future growth? Thanks.
Okay, Vaughn. So I think it's too early to know where we will end up in if there's any change to regulation around advertising or indeed any restrictions to advertising. I think it's too early to forecast that. I think we're on record as noting that there has been an enormous growth in the amount of advertising over the last number of years, and I don't think that a business with strong brands has anything to fear from some restriction there. Indeed, I think in the long term, the brand equity may be better preserved if there was less wall-to-wall bookmaking advertising. So we will see how that plays out, but we're cautiously optimistic that with our portfolio of brands, and indeed this is also probably an Australian issue, with our portfolio of brands, we're well positioned to compete. In terms of staking trends in Australia, we highlighted at the half year the amount of stakes on betting and running and the margin contribution. We highlighted here again the amount in stakes. Obviously, betting and running margin is typically lower than average margin. We're not giving guidance yet. We just think it's too early to say how this will stabilize. There's obviously been a migration back to betting and running on the phones, which is legal in Australia, and we'd expect some substitution of people betting on other events. Maybe we'll talk about that in March when we have the full year numbers. But we thought it was helpful to remind people that we had some stats on this at the half year and also a stat on turnover in these numbers. In terms of profit conversion, the more technical stuff, if you wish, I'll pass to Alex, but we are very comfortable with the level of investment, both in terms of advertising and in terms of product. We would highlight, as we did back in August, that there's a major technology product underway where we're replatforming the Paddy Power stack onto an evolving version of the Betfair stack. The reality is that that's consuming a lot of resource already and will for probably another 12 months. And at the margin, our new product development is probably slowing. But we're very happy with the absolute level of product and marketing investment at this time.
Yeah, and in terms of profit conversion, obviously it could be lumpy. You can have significant marketing investments. But overall, there is nothing there's nothing particularly extraordinary in the 50% number, so we're comfortable with that. But obviously, you know, you could have a difference one way or the other, depending on some of the particularly marketing investments or investments in new markets.
And your next question comes from the line of Patrick Colville, representing Barclays. Please proceed.
Good morning, everyone. Three questions for me, if that's okay. First of all, are there any additional marketing or costs that we should be aware of in Q4? Secondly, just looking at Q4 and then thinking about the underlying EBITDA to get to a 405 figure, assuming synergies of 14 and FX of about 5, it implies a very, very material slowdown in the underlying growth of EBITDA in Q4. Is there anything, any reason for that, or are we just being very cautious on the 405? And then final question, just in terms of next year, so very interested to hear your kind of views around marketing costs and OPEX costs for next year, and thinking about the operational gearing on that. Thanks.
Sorry, Patrick. On the additional marketing, we've guided at the interim that the marketing costs would be would experience about a 30% growth. And I think that's what you'll see. You'll see anywhere between 25 to 30% growth for the full year. I just can't be that more precise than that. There is nothing in terms of the Q4. Obviously, we've highlighted the margin and some of the synergy accelerations that we've experienced now. So obviously, we're normalizing the margin back to the 9% that we were talking about for the sports book. So clearly, that will have some that has some impact. There's nothing significantly material other than that we would expect in the fourth quarter.
And more generally, Patrick, I mean, as you know, we don't forecast market growth, nor do we forecast our own growth for next year. I think at this point in time, there's a greater expectation of some regulatory change next year than might previously have been the case. But absent a European Championship, which will mean less next summer, will be a bit quieter and there'll be less associated marketing spend. It's very much business as usual. We don't expect any material changes to the competitive dynamic.
Thank you. And just following up on that, Breon, you talked about 30% marketing growth for this year. Presumably, though, that would fall off quite materially next year, given you don't have the Euros.
Yeah, I don't want to say quite materially. I think it's too early to say. If we find ways to properly spend marketing money or efficiently spend marketing money, we absolutely reserve the right to do that. So we'll talk more about that when we get there. It's impossible to know how this market's – it's very difficult to forecast how this market will trade over the next 12 months.
And, Patrick, as you know, we'll give guidance at the interims next year. We haven't finished the budget yet for next year anyway here and haven't had a board approved, but we'll give guidance at the interims next year, and that will have a much clearer picture.
Cool. Cheers, guys. Have a nice day.
Your next question comes from the line of Monique Pollard, representing Goldman Sachs.
Hello, morning, everyone. Just two quick questions from me, if I can. One, just on the marketing cost growth, could you just give a quick reminder of what the marketing cost growth was like in the first half ex the Euros? Just trying to understand the sort of underlying marketing cost growth. And then secondly, just on the like-for-like machine growth in the third quarter, obviously that was very strong. I mean, partly you're benefiting from the lapsing of the £50 staking, I understand, but in terms of content and what's really driving that growth, you know, is it B3 in particular that's driving that?
Yeah, Monica, I'll take the second question first. So the machine number was quite strong. There was a growth. We have momentum on the B3 side of things. There's also a maturity component to this that some of the although properties mature more quickly, we opened some very good shops end of 14 and in 15 that have fed into this comp. So there's a shop maturity component to it as well. We would expect that growth rate to moderate back to kind of market levels. Alex, do you want to address the marketing question?
Yeah, the marketing growth, the overall marketing growth in the first half of the year was 31% and probably 20 to 22% excluding the Euros.
Okay, very helpful. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Ben Griffiths, representing T. Rowe Price. You may proceed.
Would you like to go to the next question and maybe Ben can come back to us?
Yes. Your next question comes from the line of Richard Stuber, representing Numis. Please proceed.
Hi, good morning. Just one question for me. I was just wondering if you've got any comments on the sort of pending merger of Tabcorp and TATS and how you think that's going to change the Australian sort of landscape going forward. Do you think it's as an opportunity as they sort of struggle to integrate, or do you think that's going to be sort of more of a medium-term threat for you? Thanks.
Well, good morning, Richard. We've had an interesting year ourselves with the post-merger integration, and I appreciate that there are other competitors that will be enjoying the joys of that at the moment. I think the proposed merger in Australia is still subject to ACCC approval, and I think we should wait the outturn of that before we talk about whether there's any change to the competitive dynamic or not.
Well, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Gavin Keller, representing Goodbody. Please proceed.
Is there any update on the UK competitive environment at the moment? Anything new to say there? What's going on? Just in terms of your own free bet activity, anything kind of any major change in how you've approached that more recently? And maybe just on markets outside the UK, how's Italy, Denmark, Spain going for you at the moment?
The UK, the competitive intensity, Gavin, remains much the same. At any kind of point in time, some competitors are probably trading a bit harder, more in our consciousness than others. But I can't say that it's materially changed one way or the other over the last 12 months, nor would we expect much change. The free bets thing, I don't think there's anything to highlight. We constantly focus on the efficiency and the return on investment on free bets, and particularly for new customer or targeted new customer segments, but nothing to note. On the international markets, I think we're making progress. The Italian teams in particular, the Paddy Power team in Rome and the Betfair team in Milan, made a lot of progress over the last number of months. We'll go to a single platform there somewhat earlier next year. And the other regulated markets you've highlighted, Denmark and the others, we continue to trade well. Spain is encouraging as well.
Okay, cool. I'm sorry, just one follow-up on the integration. Is it a gradual process next year where we see more new product on Paddy Power, or is there any particular time in the year where we'll really notice the kind of, as customers, we'd notice the platform changes and new product coming on stream?
It is a gradual process insofar as the technology work will have, there will be stuff released varying stages. In fact, there's already some improvements. Those improvements will be evident on both sides, but there will be a data migration. There'll be kind of a material data migration sometime in the second half of next year. Probably easiest to think of that as being at the end of Q3, beginning of Q4. And that's something that we will be anxious about until it's done. I think it's a reasonably well understood piece of work. But after that, we'll get full synergies and full efficiency for building one product, being able to offer it if we want to both customer bases. And that's back end of next year.
Perfect. Thanks, Brian.
Your next question comes from the line of David Jennings, representing Davy. Please proceed.
Representing Davy. Good morning, guys. Two questions, please. Firstly, just in relation to Australia, you mentioned at the time of the interim results that operating cost growth there would slow, having grown significantly in recent years. Just wondering, at this stage, can you give us a sense for operating cost growth there in the second half of the year? And then secondly, I was just wondering if you could maybe comment about how we should think about growth potential in the U.S. business over the next couple of years, assuming no further states regulate online gaming in the near term.
Yeah, I'll take the U.S. first. David, yeah, there's three parts to the U.S. model. There's the TVG business, which has grown very well over the last number of years, and indeed we've seen operating margin expansion. We've guided that growth would slow, and this period actually shows that. Now, we highlighted that there have been some change to payments mechanisms in the U.S., but also there's competitive intensity. Churchill Downs have just released good numbers in TVG. So that business is mature. We'll run it properly and carefully, but I think the growth rate definitely has moderated. And there's the casino in New Jersey, where I think the guys have done a great job. We've consistently held 12 or 13% of the online casino market there. But we are waiting for other states to open to decide whether we go to Pennsylvania or other states, as they probably will open. But forecasting that, as you know, is very hard. And then the third part of the business is the horse racing exchange in New Jersey. That started okay. It's launched and works, but we're dependent on content. So we're dependent on the right to bet on racetracks. And each of those racetracks typically requires approval from the racetrack owner and indeed the state regulator of racing. And getting that content proving harder than we expected. So we think that will be a long, hard slog. It's not material, neither in terms of revenue nor in cost to the group. And we think strategically it's the right place to be. But, you know, the New Jersey Exchange will take several, if not many years before it's before it becomes much, much more exciting. So we think of the U.S. as a platform, and as and when things change, we may be able to do more there. But the summary is that I think TVG's revenue growth, which is, we've waited for that to slow down for a while, we're now seeing evidence of that.
I think, as far as the Australia is concerned, I think what I said at the interims was, or what we said at the interims was that the profitability in the second half of the year will improve versus the first half of the year, versus year on year. And that is true. That is what's happening, and that's what I would expect us to see. In terms of the operating expense growth itself, obviously there's more spend in marketing in the second half of the year. However, what I can say is that there has been the team in Australia has done a tremendous job on putting plans in place to moderate their cost growth going forward, right? So I think what you'll see is profit improvement in the second half of the year. You will not see cost growth moderation in the second half of the year, but what we do have is plans in place to have the substantial cost moderation going into next year and beyond.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Your next question comes from the line of Jeffrey Harwood, representing Stifel. Please proceed.
Yes, good morning. I wondered if you could update us on your thoughts regarding the horse racing levy review and the possible cost, were it to be 10%. And then secondly, on the balance sheet, is the company likely to revisit the efficiency of the balance sheet at the end of the year, or is it premature to expect that?
Yeah, Jeffrey, good morning. The second one is very easy. Subject to my board correcting me, I think there's no urgency to revisit the balance sheet. We just completed a pretty material integration project. We still, as I said earlier, have some technology work to do. There is an opportunity at some stage to do that, to revisit the balance sheet, and I think that's a conversation we might be having in 12 months' time, but I would doubt we'll have it much sooner than that. On the levy, I think the industry put forward a commitment that online players would pay a fixed proportion of levy. I think that probably got racing to where they needed to get, but it was determined that the government has decided we don't yet have a resolution on that. We offered to put the Paddy Power brand and the Paddy Power business into our ABP relationship where Betfair currently is. So we expect there'll be more levy to pay, and we would hope that we can get to a sensible outcome that's fair for our customers, fair for racing, and fair for the industry.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Patrick Colfi, representing Barclay. Please proceed.
Hi, this is a quick question, but is there any substantial liability we should be thinking of just in case Trump gets in?
No. I mean, we've already paid out on Hillary Clinton, on the Paddy Power brand. The volumes on the exchange are extraordinary. I think we're very close to 100 million sterling traded on the next president market. I think if Mr. Trump gets in, our liabilities won't be the first thing to think about.
Very fair. Cheers.
Thank you for joining us on the call this morning. If there are any other questions you'd like to follow up with Ivan, Paul, Alex, or myself, we'll be available for most of the day and happy to help.